Thanks, Cheryl, for that reminder. Without that reminder, I swear, it doesn't cross my mind to go and do that. I checked out that page once, and there was nobody, no nominees. And so then it just kind of, went out of my mind. I didn't nominate anybody and didn't think anything further past that. So each time you remind, as you also did last night, oh my God. Yeah, no, I didn't know any of that. Yeah. So that's my reminder. At any rate, I appreciate that. And even though Anne isn't physically present here in the room, I just want to reassure her, at least from myself, that don't worry about people liking you. There's absolutely no reason for it. I totally enjoy your willingness to share. I enjoy what you're sharing. I enjoy that you have a zest and a zeal for following your intuition. I enjoy that you're stepping up to the plate, as they say. I enjoy that you're willing to stop the other things that you're doing and, do this recording for the room for all of us. So thank you for that. I feel grateful for that, actually. And I'm going to go to NTI, the same book. You felt a little squeamish about reading in front of your group, lest they think you're like some upstart or something, which is kind of a funny thing because I've definitely had some of those same feelings. So your sharing often brings up some of the same feelings I've certainly had myself. Yeah. But what I'm going to share from NTI is the prayer. It says, pray in this way. Father, I do not know what is best for me now, in this time and this place, that I may be led back to you. And Anne shared that that she wasn't really sure why she was going to Peru. But her guidance felt like a solid yes, and so she just went. And that reflects this very first line that Father, I do not know what is best for me now in this time and this place that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. And I'm very happy for Anne that she gets such clear guidance that she doesn't have any doubt surrounding it, because that isn't my experience yet. And so I trust that it will come. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do in joy and peace and certainty. And in this I must trust. And that leads directly to one of the quotes from Thoughts of Awakening from last week. Last week, actually, it was yesterday, Tuesday. And I don't believe anybody covered that particular quote, just as far as their sharing was concerned. But I remember Lynn, I believe it was Lynn, saying that sometimes she does not read Regina's tip before she does her own writing of her experience of the thought of awakening, and Jay kind of seconded that. And I was looking at my own experience, and I do that sometimes, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do. I read Regina's tip right after the thought of awakening. because I don't feel that strong prompt about the thought of awakening, and I wait and let it marinate, and then, you know, reread it at different times of the day, and sometimes don't get around to journaling until much later in the day. And so I haven't really set any sort of like definite pattern for myself that I need to follow. I just go with what's present for me right then. But one of the things that Lynn, I think, had expressed was the synchronicity that will occur when she does her own journaling first, and then she reads Regina's tip, and there's some sort of synchronicity going on, or correlation that is like a confirmation. And I just had that happen too when we were talking about Monday's quote and Tuesday's quote, which were speaking to the idea of force, the guiding inner voice, the inner guiding force. And Monday's lesson said, listen only for what you are to give. Listen within, placing the attention there. Listening within, placing the attention there, tunes being with an inner guiding force. This force, the inner guiding force, is in tune within all things, focusing out on the world of wants and needs, places the body in tune with a driving force. A driving force creates effort and more need for driving. Oh, I do believe maybe George had shared on this one in the very beginning. A guiding force, or maybe he didn't. I think he was just saying he has two houses for sale and how much effort it is and how much his busyness has taken over his giving his time over to maybe contemplating or meditation or whatever. But that's that driving force where we think we have to do stuff. And it takes effort to get those houses sold and all that kind of stuff. The rest of the quote says, a guiding force creates rest and an awareness of attunement. And my contemplation on that was simply this, contrasting a driving forcefulness with a guiding forcefulness, and how that feels, how the body feels. The body can and will clue you in to whether you are listening to ego or spirit. The body mind can be useful in a secondary sort of way in case you have indulged its thoughts and emotions already, stepped into the mire, as if the thoughts and emotions are real, true, and you forgetting they are only useful tools that can be noticed and utilized for tuning in to effortlessness. No one enjoys being forced to do something they don't want to do. You will find yourself objecting, pushing back, resentful, unhappy, critical, and taking a stand. What you will notice here is wanting to give someone a piece of your mind, tell them off, set them straight, give them the business, tell them like it is, and how, be honest here, and how is this is? Tuned attention to this pursuit is absorption with externals, thoughts, needs, feelings, out of alightment appearances. Upon noticing this, quickly decide to quietly rest, returning attention away from the upset, and go to silence of the heart. It awaits your return, giving calm reassurance all is still, still. It will never force your return, yet its force is an all-powerful harmony bringing you inward with an intimacy unlike any worldly experience. You can experience this by listening intimately and loving consistently. So the part that I noticed on Tuesday's Thought of Awakening, which says, the way of within is the way of rest, because the way of within is the way of flowing with the guiding force of all. The guiding force does not force. And that's exactly what I said the previous day, just in different words. It will never force your return because it doesn't force. It's, you know, based on free will. It listens and then it delivers through gentle prodding that which is in the best interest of all. And that reminded me of what I shared in the sanctuary at Dove's request this past Sunday from A Course in Miracles. That is the test for truth, where you can know where you're coming from. And it says something like, if everyone that thinks of you, like in your presence or whatever, is not at perfect peace, then there's some kind of a shadow remaining in your mind where you're withholding complete love and deciding instead to either, like Anne was saying, you know, pretend or fake it or act like you like them when inside, you know, you're giving them the business, you know, you'll know you're not in alignment or alignment with your true self, and you're in a divided mind. And NTI Romans also spoke to that tendency as we are blinking in and out of full attention on awareness, watching awareness, and in the next second, full attention on externals and experiencing subject-object or division or separation or whatever you want to call it, that is a kind of a very common sort of a stage that we can go through, and just to simply notice that and return as often as we can back to our still presence, asking, you know, what am I supposed to do now? So again, this guiding force does not force. It listens, and then it delivers through gentle prodding. And I looked up the word prodding because whenever I see the word prodding, I always think of like a cattle prod. You know, isn't it like some sort of a stick where they, you know, kind of forcefully move, forcefully move the cow along or whatever? But this is gentle prodding. It's like sometimes I do feel like I need a kick in the pants, somebody to, you know, get behind me with a prod and say, hey, you know, oh, it's an electric shock. Oh, God. Well, yeah, that's why it's a gentle prodding, because I'm not interested in an electrical shock, although I think sometimes maybe subconsciously those choices present themselves as well. After all, they're part of the possibility of all that is. And the only thing that seems to bring it my way is I have a desire for that to be the case, or I let my attention just wander aimlessly and the code says, you know, what comes in isn't yours at all. You have the opportunity to observe it and dismiss it, or take it in as the guidance that it is, recognizing that it only brings this gentleness and this peace. We're not, you know, given any sort of suffering prod. That's just an interpretation that the mind would give to it. So again, it would be distorted by not the guiding force, but the force that doesn't feel restful at all. It feels forced. So the guiding force is love, and it acts in love as love, because love is all it knows. Love is all it knows. And so, with that, I am going to continue on to experience your perfect soul. Oh, wait, one more thing. I want to just end that little section of it with another prayer from NTI that correlates very well with the prayer in the first chapter of Acts. And this is on page 258 in still in Acts. I just loved Acts, by the way. Chapter 27, where it says, it is only this you must remember, and then you can always decide. In each circumstance, this is all in italics. These next two paragraphs are all in italics. You can always decide. There's that free will again. In each circumstance and every situation along the way to me, I am there with you, offering help and guidance. Never am I not there. Never can you make a mistake that will drive me away. But it is also true that you can only hear my word, excuse me, and accept my help if you are willing to see that the answer to all things is me. If you choose to limit the circumstances in which I may help, my help is limited. Again, if you choose to limit the circumstances in which I may help, my help is limited. If you choose to solve your problems on your own, my answer remains unheard. Always, I am with you, able to help. Always. Without exception, I am there. But you must be willing to know me and accept me in order to receive me as yours. And I find that both instructive, comforting, and reassuring. So with that, I say amen. Let me grab some water, please. So let's see, maybe Cheryl, you can confirm my, I didn't, you're like dog ear the page. And I'm thinking that I left off on page 253, if I'm not mistaken. We are reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul. It's a joyful path to self-realization. And 252, thank you. And Michael Langford put this book together. It is a book with seven Christian mystics, as he calls them, and we are on the last Christian mystic. And so this is, will be the end of our reading, my sharing of this book when I'm finished. And we are on page 252, even if it's a repeat, I'm good to go with a repeat. I thoroughly enjoy it. And this is from Elise Morgan, chapter 7, page 252. And this particular section is called Be Deeply Still. Lessen the sense of necessary conversation. Wow. Lessen the desire to talk through space. The soul needs stillness, complete stillness. The light shines in stillness. Be still, deeply still. Let go and relax in the stillness. Absorb my quietness, my joy, my strength. Quietly, steadfastly face me. Face love. Face eternal truth, rightness through eternity. You meet what you face. That's an interesting line. You meet what you face. And obviously that seems to me that it goes, that could go both ways. If I'm living unconsciously, I will meet my unconsciousness, unaware, completely unaware that all of my thoughts, all of my beliefs, all of my attention is focused external to the truth of who I am. And I will face that. I can't be given something other than what I'm putting out there until I turn my direction within and ask within to be shown differently. And then what I face will be given and seen from that dedication. You meet what you face. The doors are before you. The keys are in your hand. It rests with you to choose what you would face. There it is. And that line from A Course in Miracles that everybody's very familiar with, your only responsibility is to accept the atonement for yourself. It rests with you to choose atonement and see its face. Or not. still doesn't change your eternally divine nature, which is the only isness there is. Yet if that's not your direct experience, it's still helpful to, you know, be mindful. Watch what's going on. Choose what you see, what you're facing, how you're experiencing your life. What am I, you know, looking at? What am I focusing on? What am I experiencing? What meaning am I giving to this? Am I seeing that? Am I seeing these things as they happen without attachment, or do I find myself yo-yoing between attachment and detachment, which is okay too. That's just what it is. Karen Worth's meditations are very helpful and encouraging us to just be with what is. It's not about rejecting it or denying it or, you know, hiding behind it or being ashamed about it or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, acknowledging it is right there. Acknowledge it. Think for a moment what you are absorbing, what you are dwelling upon from hour to hour, from day to day. Are you living in the fullness of joy, in the light of divine love? Or are you simply trying to get through the day? And that's always a good question to ask ourselves. Are you living in the fullness of joy? And it's not saying, you know, joy is not a partial thing. The light of divine love is, you know, not an itty bitty or a, you know, kind of a medium sized or less than the all of itself. It's always whole, kind of black and white. That's why it says the fullness of joy, because that's what joy really is. It's a complete existence as love, not just sometimes loving, sometimes not loving, sometimes happy and sometimes not happy. You know that. I mean, we all have experienced that, I would suspect. Are you living in the fullness of joy, in the light of divine love, or are you simply trying to get through the day? And for me, my answer to that would be probably the latter, simply trying to get through my day with, you know, some snippets of calm and quiet and, you know, some hours of it. I shouldn't say snippets because that's not true. I do invest the time. I can't say that in meditation every single time or in contemplation every single time I am directly experiencing the fullness of joy or like a whole experience of divine love. I think there's a mixture of other bombarding thoughts, as Karen, you know, again, brings us back in the meditation itself, encouraging us to notice whatever kind of thought might be trying to bombard into whatever level of silence you're or floating or calm or nothingness you're able to be with, how often appreciate her prompt to don't forget, you know, if you happen to notice You know, notice right now what bombarding thought might be in your awareness. And generally for me, there is one there. And there could be some stickiness around it. So it's like, oh, I'm glad she said that. So I appreciate that piece of the meditation. But I can't say in my direct experience that my living life experience is always in the fullness of joy or the light of divine love. I think it's mixed with simply trying to get through the day as well. First, you must know that you can rely on yourself, your true, immortal self. You must know that you can rely on yourself, your true immortal self. You must know that it is ever present. And that just reminds me of that thought of awakening that spoke about is. Or Bentinho had a wonderful article that I read today, and I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I actually think it was, I think it was like, just came out today, where he talked about the I and likened it to awareness watching awareness. And that was very helpful for me somehow. Kind of like is, and it's all that is. So again, first you must know that you can rely on yourself, your true immortal self. And with that, you know, I at least for me, identification with the human self or the persona self. I know in experience, direct experience, that relying on that self is always fraught with unrewarding portions as well as rewarding portions. It's never constantly rewarding. It's never consistently reliable. It's dicey at best. And so this statement here is telling me you can rely on your true immortal self. And so in my mind, it's like, don't get that mixed up with the doubt that appears is the doubt that you have generated from your past reliance. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now. This is instead pointing me once again and saying, first, you must know that you can rely on yourself, your true immortal self. And for me, that's that encouraging once again to step into the truth of who you are. Be that. Don't just talk about that as we started off with. Lessen the sense of necessary conversation. Lessen the desire to talk through space. Your true immortal self is, you know, found in the stillness that it goes on to speak about, the complete stillness. You must know that it is ever present. And at least for me, the way I know that is by going there, by, you know, being still, by doing the work, by, you know, trying to remember as often as I can remember when I seem to be lost in the world to, you know, jerk my attention back to my attention, my awareness back to my awareness, and be guided from there to remember to ask. So this next piece is called trust the divine. Love is the word of all words for all time to dwell upon. Love gives each soul the element that it requires. And Carrie was reflecting that this morning in her her many attempts to get into Pal Talk, dealing with some Pal Talk issues this morning. But something that I did pick up that she said in regards to the past gathering that Regina just did, and Anne talked about, but Carrie was talking about how in the organization of that, how each person that helped in the organization of that has their own unique flavor, their own unique forcefulness, driving forcefulness in a powerful way, in that guiding forcefulness way, where they are driven to use their talents and their abilities, and each one contributes their piece to make a whole experience that comes together beautifully for everybody, and how divinely that works in such a divine flow, how it's easier when, you know, there's not one person like stressing out over doing everything all the time and not trusting that somebody else can handle their piece of it beautifully, because we want to maintain some sense of control and have it go my way. And I don't know, all the various reasons ego wants to, you know, be the hero, or you know, all that stuff, and how allowing everyone to do this very thing, to let each soul give the required element that comes from the loving guidance that they're tuned into, and see how it all comes together so beautifully. And she was just giving an example of that this morning in her reflection of how the conference went down. So that was sweet. And this is saying to me the same thing. Love gives each soul the element that it requires. And within that, my comment also would be that it's not, I don't have to compare myself to somebody else. My element is my element, and they have their element, and they're both whole elements. They seem to be pieces of the whole, but they're not pieces of the whole, because there's no such thing as pieces of a whole. The whole is only whole. Like we said, love only knows itself. Wholeness only knows itself. The path paved in love widens and deepens as you walk on and on. The way is announced in clearness, in great distinctness. I hear that, and I kind of have this maybe in the solar plexus area, like this, like a, how would I describe it? Like a sinking feeling, because it doesn't seem clear to me. And it doesn't seem distinct to me. But that's because I'm throwing shade on it. It doesn't change from clear and in great distinctiveness into something else. It's just what I'm throwing on it that seems to change it into something it's not. And that leaves me with that. And I'm just saying, I noticed that sense of disbelief. The way is announced in clearness, in great distinctness, because I noticed the mind wanting to say, then, you know, give me a billboard, or, you know, something in great big letters, or something very unmistakably for Kathy, the person, And that's, you know, that subtle demand that it be given to me for a person, and I'm not a person. I'm not that. So that's that again, returning the mind to don't let that fool you. What is to come as clear and distinct will come when you remove the blocks to who you think you are. The next piece is called stillness. Rest in the stillness. Rest in the light. Rest in the overshadowing presence of love. And receive, receive, receive. Just kind of take that in for a minute. Receive, receive, receive. And that reminded me of Monday's Thought of Awakening, the very first line, listen, listen, only, only for what you are to give. And this stillness that's being talked about, rest, rest, says it three times. Rest in the stillness, rest in the light, rest in the overshadowing presence of love, and receive, receive, receive. Like, you know, what's so hard about that? When you are still, my joy unfolds. It rests entirely with you. Happiness is here now, if you are willing to accept it. As the past is released, every act, every judgment is redeemed. And again, that as the past is released, I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now. Why would I? Everything from this idea of a past is an add-on, something that seemed to come after the tiny mad idea or the wish. What would it be like if things could be different than they really are? As if that could ever happen to begin with. So recognizing that there's no such thing as a past at all. There's only this present moment. That's it. Awareness aware of itself. because every act, every judgment that's released also doesn't exist now. Even the memories we have of love, which are reflections of truth, that are conjured up from a past experience, are still part of the illusion, reflecting on a time frame that doesn't even exist. And yet this is saying to us, as the past is released, as we don't use it anymore as any sort of a guidepost about what I am to, how I am to intuit now, listen now, be in now. So as the past is released, every act and every judgment is redeemed. Truth is the strength of life. Truth is is steadfast love. Truth is security for man. Do not doubt yourself. Depend upon your true self and trust your own response. Do not doubt yourself. Depend upon your true self and trust your own response. Yeah. It's like a reallocation of trust. Because there is some level of trust going on when I am listening to the voice of the ego. It's just misplaced trust. And it always has within its effects, or effects, E-F-F-E-C-T, elements of doubt, uncertainty, maybe I should have done it this way, maybe I shouldn't have said that, you know, all of that. There's always that going on when there's trust going on in the dark voice. And the responses that maybe are verbally said, the responses that come out in the form of an action, the responses that we can notice and change simply based on, you know, how did that make me feel? How was that experience? And being honest about it. Maybe I can use doubt in a positive way, doubting more and more what sometimes feels like this stronger, darker voice, clearly giving bad information, has no interest in my well-being or anybody else's well-being. Clearly, I can't trust its responses to be consistent, kind, loving, reflections always of divine purpose. So I do appreciate this little three-liner, do not doubt yourself. Depend upon your true self and trust your own response. Because again, for me, it's another three-liner fully encouraging, stepping into the truth of who I am. This true self that deserves my attention. And with that true self, I can always trust that response, whatever the response might be. Because it's that direct connection to Source. It is Source. I am Source. The creative principle with consciousness, conscious of itself, of love only. So this next piece is called Accept My Love. Awake. Exclamation point. Awake. Its own line. Freedom is chanting a new song. Drop your thoughts of inadequacy, your time-worn feeling of disappointment in yourself. Know that your willingness to overcome a failing is all important. And when you have done your part, rest in love. Love does not complain. Love does not justify itself. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you need only to be aware of your divine companion. Everything is known. Everything is revealed. You will see. And I cannot tell you how impactful that was. I'm going to read it again. Awake. Freedom is chanting a new song. Drop your thoughts of inadequacy, your time-worn feeling of disappointment in yourself. Know that your willingness to overcome a failing is all important. And when you have done your part, rest in love. Love does not complain. Love does not justify itself. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you need only to be aware of your divine companion. Everything is known. Everything is revealed. You will see. The line that probably hit me the most was, love does not justify itself. because this morning I was justifying something to my husband, and he was, you know, justifying on his side of it back with me, and it didn't really settle well for either one of us. And so, yeah. So this was at least a very impactful end to my time with you guys. Exactly what I needed to finish with. And I will take some time to look at that again in meditation and ask what is to be revealed, what is to be known, and what is to be seen. And so with that, I appreciate y'all being with me. I'm ending on page 255, halfway down. And so next week we'll begin with the piece called Oneness. And I will right now earmark that page. Oh my gosh. It felt like it folded over very easily. So maybe I ended there one other time as well, or needed to look at that then too. But anyway, at any rate, thanks guys. I'm giving up the mic.